County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. We are going to take a look at a community development block grant program. Brian Sykes, Assistant Director and Accounting Manager, and Kimberly Todd, the Technical Assistance Coordinator for CCD Business Development. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kyle.
So this is something new, just starting to put out the information. I guess sort of talk about maybe how this whole process works in terms of maybe even explain what a community development block grant is, where it starts out, how it ends up being able to help some people here in Douglas County.
Well, the Community Development Block Grant is actually a federally funded program. But here down in the state of Oregon, we actually, it's administered by the Business Oregon or Oregon Business Development Department. And at least for us, with the COVID-specific funding that's coming down, the City of Roseburg and Coos County were both able to step up and submit an application to apply for some of those funds that we could pass through as grant funds, as well as provide some technical assistance programming and workforce development programming to be able to assist small business owners, and specifically today with or in the Douglas County area.
So is this similar to what was done earlier on in the pandemic?
So if you're talking about the grant funds that came down through the multiple rounds from Business Oregon, not quite. But about a year ago, we were able to administer one of these community development block grant funds in Douglas County. Actually, we were able to do it in Coos Curry and Douglas. And so the application and intake process is a little bit more intensive than the Business Oregon rounds were, but we did have pretty good success with that about a year ago.
Now, obviously, just about every business out there has been impacted by the pandemic. There's been a few that actually improved because of the pandemic, because of what they did. But for most everybody else, it's been a stressor. It's been a challenge. And a lot of people are looking at negative balance sheets, you know, after the last couple of years, just trying to hang in there.
And you know what? That's exactly what we're looking for in an applicant. Now, there are some income requirements associated with the program, but we are specifically looking for COVID impact for those specific businesses that are applying. And that is something that needs to be demonstrated. So there's a specific question on the intake form that requests how a business has been impacted. And we're really asking people to be as descriptive as possible in that section.
So is it limited to certain segments of the business community?
So there's two ways to qualify for this program. It's as a microenterprise, and a microenterprise is designed as a business with five or fewer employees, including the owner. And in that case, we would be qualifying businesses based on the take-home income or of the income of the business owner themselves, which would have to fall in the low to moderate income category as defined in the Business Oregon method of distribution for community development block grants. The other way is as a small business. That's for businesses that exceed that five employee count, where we would be able to qualify a business based on the income of the jobs that they're either retaining or creating as a part of the application process. And in that case, the individual employee would need to fall in that low to moderate income category. And we break out all of the LMI or low to moderate income amounts in the literature that we'll be providing as we market the program.
Well, Kim, as we've talked before, with your background in dealing with small business, I mean, so much of business, especially in Oregon, especially in rural Oregon, is really small business. It's one to five people.
It is. And rural areas are disproportionately affected. You know, when this grant came through, it really became apparent how much help is still needed for small businesses so that they can be stabilized and resilient as they move forward, because we're dealing with COVID in the last 2 years, but you know, it really is more prudent to plan for future disasters. There's going to be times where there's going to be other aid offered, and to have the, you know, employee base to have the ability to apply for these things and have the ability to take some of the technical assistance and training is going to be really important for a small business as they plan to move forward.
Now, Brian, is there a particular amount of money that you're administrating through this?
So the full grant amount that was received through the City of Roseburg application was $500,000 for the program. We are looking to put out a large portion of it in direct cash grants, but we'll also be using some to provide technical assistance and workforce development services.
So help people that have been impacted but really need more help moving forward with things other than just the bottom line.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, Kyle, I'll give you an example as somebody gave it to me. You might have a restaurant and you have 10 employees, and five of those employees are in these low to moderate income categories in the application, and that gives the employer the cash assistance. If he's, you know, if they're approved, they get that cash assistance. And then there's also funds that help with professional development and workforce training. And, you know, we haven't seen nationwide this low unemployment record like we see now. And so it's really important for businesses to invest in their employees, to give them the training and responsibilities and support that they need to stay employed with them. You know, those kind of trainings and benefits really help edify an employee and help them to stay longer with that employer.
And Brian, I imagine that as we kind of shift phases in the pandemic here, that for some people that have been hanging on through all of this, they would like to get to the next phase and you know, be able to keep operating. And as we all know, some people have had to give up, shutter things along the way.
Well, recovery is always a huge focus for us. Back at the beginning of the pandemic, we did receive funding to start up our economic recovery initiative, which has really helped us not only identify the need for technical assistance and grant funding, but also implement that along the way. So you're absolutely right.
So this, though, is for businesses that are still open. I mean, folks that have closed wouldn't be eligible, right?
Unfortunately, no. It would be for active businesses. They need to have been in business for at least a year, and they need to be able to demonstrate the impact that COVID has had on them.
Talk about some of the documentation that they've got to have available.
Well, during the initial intake process, we're not going to be asking for any documentation at all. We're going to be using that to determine eligibility. So that initial intake will just be a series of questions that will be answered by the business owner. And then if based on their responses, they'll be requested to come back and fill out the remainder of the application, which will have things like personal federal tax returns for any 20% or greater owner in the business from either 2020 or 2021 to confirm their level of income. If we are basing it, or we'll also need information on previous years of business operations to be able to confirm the impact that COVID has had, if the impact has been financial. We'll also require personal financial statements, which will be provided in the application after the initial intake has been completed for all 20% or more owners in the business, and any sort of articles of incorporation or organization, depending on the type or how the business is organized. That won't necessarily apply to sole proprietorships, but for a corporation, obviously the articles of incorporation, and then the articles of organization for an LLC or a partnership agreement for a partnership. And if we are going down the small business qualification route, we'll also need to confirm employee payroll records in order to confirm their low to moderate income status. And that can be done using Form 132 from your Oregon quarterly payroll tax filing, or even the past 2 weeks of...
Where did I put that?
Yep, I know.
Brian's in charge of accounting.
The accounting speak is coming out a little bit on this, so I apologize. And beyond that, we'll also need a copy of a valid driver's license to confirm residency and the location of the business.
So there's obviously a lot of due diligence here to make sure that when you're talking about $500,000 here, you would like to get it used effectively, honestly, properly.
Absolutely. We're going to be taking every applicant that ends up getting invited through a full underwriting process to ensure the viability of the business going forward, to make sure that these funds are used in an efficient manner as possible.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with Brian Sykes and Kimberly Todd from CCD Business Development. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Back in a moment with Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Next couple of days, we'll be featuring candidates for governor on the program. One of the Republican candidates tomorrow, one of the Democratic candidates on Thursday, right here on Inside Douglas County. Brian Sykes and Kimberly Todd from CCD Business Development Corporation in with us now, talking about this community development block grant aimed at helping business in Douglas County. So, Brian, I guess at this point, you've explained a lot about it, but one of the elements I noticed that is maybe different than some of these is a real short window to do your kind of initial connection for a business to work with you guys.
Yep, we will be having a 10-day window for people to come in and apply. The application will be 100% online. But if people do need to come in and if they need assistance, they can always call in and ask for some help from CCD staff. And we'll also be maintaining a computer or a workstation in our office that people can come in and fill out the intake portion of the application as well. And just keeping in mind that the intake portion will be open from March 21st through March 31st. But the application portion could be open longer than that. So people will be able to come in, do the eligibility intake, but they won't necessarily need to provide all of their documentation prior to that 31st cutoff if they are invited to apply.
So have you been able to kind of figure out how long it would take to fill out that initial intake?
We're estimating about 5 to 10 minutes at this point.
Okay.
It's just a questionnaire of are you eligible or are you not, essentially.
And then there'll be more work up the road later if you contact them and they're invited to move forward.
Yep. If they're invited to move forward, then that's when we'll be requesting all the documentation to back up the responses on that initial intake form.
So will that also be an online submission?
It will, yes.
And so some people are going to need a little bit of help with that probably. Folks that are pretty techie that I know, perhaps even me, that when you look at something like that and go, okay, how do I get that document from there over to there, you know, properly, et cetera?
Yeah, we found this as we've had 2 years of this pandemic and then about a year and a half of the CARES Act, which was a process of an online application. We learned that there were so many people left behind due to that process. Not a lot of people had computers. It wasn't a fillable form through a cell phone. They asked questions that your average business owner doesn't readily know. And so there would just be a point where either the applicant would just give up or just not have the time. You know, so many businesses just employ one person themselves. They're so busy. If they don't have an administrative arm, sometimes it's just a partner to help them, then they're not able to complete what they need. Or if they get that request from, you know, the application process that says, we need just one more thing. Oh, just one more thing. I don't have the time for this. And because of that, the technical assistance piece came about. So technical assistance is just this term we throw around. All it means is, what kind of help do you need? What's the gap you're having in your business? What's the roadblock? Sometimes it's talking about getting a permit from the city. I haven't been able to figure this out. Why do I have to have this study? Sometimes it's as easy as I have to scan and put this form in so that I can get to the next step. Bring it on down. And so that process of technical assistance is actually what I was brought on to help with. And that's been going on since July. So that help is here no matter when a business needs it. And I call it removing roadblocks and filling gaps, because it's really sometimes like I have a client who has a website, just wants to get that e-commerce piece on there, just wants to get that shopping cart, right? Just, oh, where do I find the time? And I don't have the know-how. I need help. That's exactly what we do. Connect them to that person. And in some cases, we're even able to evaluate whether we can use some grant funds to pay for that for them. So there's lots of help out there. The piece about the workstation being at CCD, it's just waiting for somebody to come and apply. We will sit next to you because that is also part of the grant funds. The people that are providing the money really want this targeted to people that didn't get assistance in those first rounds that went out, that didn't have the time and the support. So now that it's been a little bit of time, maybe people can come up for air a little bit and finally get that assistance they need, because they do need to stabilize their employee base. They do need to make sure they keep those jobs in our community. And that's exactly what this addresses.
So does that also apply when you look at the income level and all that to like folks that are businesses? It's a business, but they're essentially an independent service contractor, maybe performing a service. So it's them. They're not like a company.
We'd have to take a look at it on a case-by-case basis in the type of business that the contractor is doing. I'm not going to say that we would discount it out of hand.
I mean, you have folks, like when you talk about people who really had a tough time with shutdown aspects of COVID, things like hairdressers, nail techs,
right.
All those personal services folks.
Personal services folks tend to be 1099 contractors. And what I would say to that is, if they received pandemic unemployment insurance, which in my experience of helping small businesses and contractors, they tended to be qualified for that. If you did receive pandemic unemployment insurance, I do believe that prohibits them from this particular grant. Now, that said, the technical assistance, the part where somebody can sit and help you with a roadblock, help you in your business, that is open to anybody of any income level and nonprofits and for-profits. That's separate from what we're talking about. So I just want to say that. But what I like to tell people is go to ccdbusiness.org, click on the little intake for technical assistance, or click on the sign up for updates. They both come up right on the first page. That will initiate a phone call, or rather that'll initiate some future contact from us. So you'll get our constant contacts. You'll get that ongoing information that we send out about both pieces. But for contract workers that receive pandemic unemployment insurance, they would not be able to demonstrate the particulars of what the grant asks for.
So Brian, maybe we hit this at the front end, but what kind of grant amounts are we talking about here?
So the grant amounts can range anywhere from $2,500 to $25,000. For micro enterprises, it's just going to be a flat $10,000 grant. But for small businesses that are qualifying based on the low to moderate income of their employees, it can go as low as $2,500 up to $25,000. And it's based on the employee count that we're using to qualify for the program. So about $2,500 per LMI employee or LMI position.
And just to make it even more fair, this has got to be businesses that have already been around for a year, not something that you started up 3 months ago.
Right. Yeah. This program is really targeted and was originally designed. Now it's, been around for a couple of years now, but it was originally designed to assist businesses that were there prior to the pandemic. Now, the actual requirement is must have been in business for a year. So businesses that actually have been started after the pandemic did could be eligible for this program.
So about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Getting ready for this 10-day window, what should people maybe do now to take a look and see what might be ahead in the process?
I would tell them the number one thing to do is to go to the website, ccdbusiness.org, and the very first thing that pops up when you're there is please keep me updated on information. And you fill out your name, address, phone, email. Check your emails. That is the number one way, because we have 3 weeks of marketing this and promoting it to make sure that it gets into the hands of all the small businesses that need it so much. And then they're going to be ready for the 21st. That will put them in direct contact with the materials that we're talking about today.
And in addition to that, we do have a banner along the top of our webpage where where the press release for this program is available as well, for people that want to be able to review the information as far as low to moderate income numbers as well as eligibility criteria.
A lot of specific criteria there, and you might be able to look at that fairly quickly, decide if you have a chance at it or you don't.
Yep.
All right, Brian Sykes, Kimberly Todd, CCD Business Development, out of time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kyle. It's always a pleasure.
1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.